As mentioned a number of times, the Rosh was the primary Talmud of the Rama Rottenberg. Rama Rottenberg, who was, of course, the Rebbe of the Rosh and the main Pesach for all of Germany. And the Rama Rottenberg was imprisoned and so on, and he died in prison. And as a result of that, all the trouble that because he realized the situation was very bad, so he tried to escape, and he was gemassered and informed against, and as a result he was put into prison, and he did not allow himself to be ransomed. The Rosh wanted to raise the money, and the Mashal writes himself as Gittin that he refused it, and ultimately he dies in prison 1293, and they did not allow him to release his body even that until 14 years later. It's an amazing thing. Until some wealthy person who actually gave everything that he had in order to redeem the Rosh, the Rama Rottenberg, and he comes to Kavura. His burial is in the city of Worms. It's one of the still interesting preserved tombstones, which is still like in its original state, going back to the 1300s. And it's a place that is visited very, very frequently. People go to daven over there because knowing that this is a very, very special place. And the person, Alexander Wimpin, was the name of Frankfurt, who redeemed him, also was zeichet to have his kavers right next to it. As we mentioned a number of times, that invariably when people come to daven, to visit the kaver of the Rama Rottenberg, so he has the schus people right at the same time are davening at his kaver too, because really the two tombstones, the two matzevs, are right next to each other. And so if a minyan is coming, or the kaddish is being said, it's being said at the same place simultaneously at the same time. The Rosh saw the handwriting on the wall, and he saw what happened to his Rebbe. So Rebbe Yehuda ben Arosh, Rebbe Yehuda the son of the Rosh, he writes and says that my father says was quite worried, and he understood it's just a matter of time they're going to do the same thing to him. Because after the Rabbi Meir of Rottenberg, the Rama Rottenberg passed away, with all of these things that happened, he was considered the next leader, of German Jewry. And it was just a matter of time that the same thing would happen to him. So the Rosh realized that he has to leave Germany. He made the decision to leave Germany. This also brings down the Mashal in Yamshir Shloim and Mesachtes Gittin. He said, and ultimately that is where he reaches out to come to Spain. Totally different worlds, two worlds apart, clearly two worlds apart. The Rosh saw also that this was a hashgacha, this was divine providence, ben Hashemayim, that this is being orchestrated, that he should come to a distant land and to be able to use all of his influence in being the great teacher and the great Rebbe that he was, and to start the yeshiva in Spain and bring about and to elevate, the level of learning and the level of study and so on, as was true, that Rosh became the leader and the greatest influence in Spain, raising up the whole level of learning over there. The Rosh had a Rebbe, and he and his eight children, actually. The Rosh and his wife and the eight children make their way, but his plan, he didn't know exactly where he's going. Now he knows he has to leave them there. So as he was going, he comes to somewhere to the border of Italy, in a town which is on the border of Italy, and the Jewish people, once when they heard that the Rosh was there, you can imagine they came out to be mekabel ponim, to come to greet him with a tremendous kavod, with tremendous ceremony, as it was, and they really asked him very strongly that he should remain there and he should become the Rav over there, he should become the leader over there. And but Lamaise, we saw that the Rosh here also saw that the ruler of that part of the country was very sympathetic, he said, to the ruler of Germany, and therefore he was worried ultimately that he would be given over. The Germany viewed him as sort of like a fugitive when they found out that he left. And he was concerned, it's not safe for me to be there either, in that town which was on the border of Italy. So then he goes further. Where does he go further? He makes his way to the south of France, Montpellier. And as a matter of fact, there it was a very beautiful Jewish community. Interesting thing, we're talking about the early 1300s, 1305. Very beautiful Jewish community in the south of France. And matter of fact, the Rosh makes reference to it. It's called, he writes it, it's written like in the Hebrew, Montpellier. Montpellier, he says, and he writes as follows, he says, Bevayil Montpellier, he says, when I come to Montpellier, he says, Shomot Sosi Kovod HaTorah. He says, I found it, it's really Kovod HaTorah, he says, is over there. Ziva V'Hadorah, is glory and its beauty. He really saw Torah learning on a high level. He says, Torah Gedula, he says, Torah and greatness, Ir Vein B'Yisrael, it's a beautiful city, a very major city, he says, of a Jewish community, Misham takes the Torah L'chol Shoyel. As anyone who has questions to ask can find answers and solutions in terms of halacha. There were people who had the ability to paskin and to be able to answer questions in Torah. On the other hand also, there was the other side, it was a negative side. And that was also, there was other winds that were blowing over there, and the Rosh did not feel comfortable because he saw that there were two factions. There was one side which was the religious side, then also there was the other side that was leaning toward the different areas. So the Rosh decided, let's see further what we can find. So about, just about a year alone, just this traveling alone, took him about a year, and he ultimately comes to Spain. This is sort of like default. He tries here, he tries there, and as we mentioned, he arrives in Barcelona. And when he arrives in Barcelona, of course, Barcelona, that was the place where the Rajbar, Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Aderes, he was the Rav over there. And he was the Godel HaDor, certainly in Spain, the recognized authority. He was older than the Rosh. And the Sefer Shalshelos HaKabbalah brings down that when the Rosh arrived, the Rajbar took him in, you know, and he hosted him. He hosted him for about a week. And Shalshelos HaKabbalah, what did they do with the week? Discussing all the different halachic shilas, all the different questions that were raised, sitting and spending time just learning one with the other, these two great people, when they have an opportunity to meet such two great people, being together and having the opportunity to discuss all the various difficult halachas and shilas and so on. And the Rajba writes right away that I found in the Rosh to be a chocham and a bal svaris. A chocham is someone who's very, very logical, he writes regarding the Rosh. And it was the Rajba, as we mentioned, he was the shadchan, right? He was gave the yetzer to Toledo, the community of Toledo, that they should accept the Rosh, that he should be their rod, and so on. And Toledo at the time was one of the main metropolises, also a very main center of the Jewish community, quite a large Jewish community at the time, and which played a major role. And then, therefore, so the Rajba was recommended that the Rosh should be accepted to become the Rav there in Toledo, and he would become the successor to Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi. Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi was there, the Rav, before. According to some opinions, the Chinuch was authored by Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi. It's not clear who the author of the Chinuch is, but it's very strongly held, at least by many, that the Chinuch was Rabbeinu Aaron Halevi. In any case, the Rosh succeeds, at least arrives in Toltilo. It was called Toltila. That was the way it's written in the Svarim. Tulitila. That, in fact, is referring to Toledo. Interesting that the Rajba, in the Chuvas Rajba, he writes as follows, Shamati me'echod migdoyle ha'rebonim. He says, who gave testimony b'shem harav Rabbeinu Meir Rottenberg. Who is that? That's referring to the Rosh. Echad Migdoyla HaRabbonim. That's how the Rajba titles him. There was correspondence back and forth between the Rosh and the Rajba, as we find in the Chuvas HaRosh, and we see the Rosh writing very great titles regarding the Rajba. No question that each held each other in very high esteem. So you can understand, as soon as it was proposed to Toledo by the Rajba to receive the Rosh, so they couldn't wait. Now they were just jumping, grabbed the opportunity to have such a great person to be their leader, and that is the Rosh. And the Rosh accepted the invitation, and ultimately, as we see, he arrives in Toledo. So we find out a number of things. When he comes in Toledo, of course, this is Spain, this is not Germany. And this is really the major differences between Ashkenaz and Sfarad, right? Germany is Ashkenaz, and Sfarad, this is Spain. And as we mentioned a number of times, that the Rosh felt very strongly, you know, in his opinions, that some of the things, some of the minhagim, some of the customs that they were accustomed to doing in Spain, he felt was against the halacha. That was his opinion. Now, there are many things that are only custom. It's a question of custom, so each community has their customs, and the Rosh was not interested at all to try to have people change their customs, because everything has a Messiah, that's a tradition that you have. But if the customs are based against halacha, at least in the Rosh's opinion, this is the way it was, so then the Rosh tried as much as possible to have them change it. The Rosh says, I was not successful all the time, as much as I tried. They said, what do you think, we're born yesterday. We're not orphans. We also had parents and we had grandparents, and they were Jewish too, and they were observant, and they had their minhagim, and therefore the Rosh said I was not successful quite a number of times. In any case, on a large scale, it was the Rosh's influence that was all over all the Jewish community, all over Spain, and questions were directed to him from going from left to right, going all over the areas, and the shouts of Shuvah is a B'tzal Ashkenazi. B'tzal Ashkenazi is the Shittim Mekubetzis, who lived in the 1500s. He writes, Ki hu hoya rabbon shel golus hazeh. In other words, the Rebbe, the leader of the exile, the teacher of the whole exile. He says, going from the Slavic country, says, out Tsarfas until he says Spain, and going to France and Spain. Reiv ha-goyle, he says, kobluhu l'rav aleim. You're like, come on, unanimously, he was considered to be the top leader. Reiv ha-goyle. All over in Golis accepted the Rosh. So writes the Shittim Mekubetzis in the Sefer Shas Yeshuas, Ritzal Ashkenazi. And you might remember we discussed, there was even the non-Jewish world as well. Remember, we had that he was commissioned by the Queen of Spain, in order to adjudicate a very difficult case that the Goyish courts were not able to find a solution to it. As a matter of fact, the way we had quoted it from the writings of the Rosh, it went from Beis Din to court, court to Beis Din, Beis Din court. It fluctuated back and forth, and neither was able to find the proper solution. The two litigants, one was the name of Reb Shlomo ben Al Bagal, that was one name. The other one was Yisrael ben Al Chadad. Interesting names. And these two, and it was therefore a very special directive came by messenger, came from the Queen to the Rosh, that he should be the one to be able to solve the problem. And in fact, it's a very, very lengthy response, a lengthy tshuva in the tshuva sarosh. How the Rosh goes through, first of all, he brings exactly what the sikhsuch was, what the difficulties was, opinions of this side and that side, all the sides, and the merits of both sides. He didn't dismiss one without bringing all the sides. And then he goes through breaking it down until he sides and says who is right. As a matter of fact, he used a lot of psychology also, which is very important sometimes for a dayan, because he was able to see that the person, he says, who made a certain claims, the Rosh said, if he's telling the truth, he said he could have said much better, like Silicon Migu type thing, but very clearly. So if someone really was telling the truth, he said he had really at his disposal a much better ammunition, he says, against the other person. But there was different indications in many situations that the facts were misrepresented and are not really exactly as is being claimed, and so on, among the other things that the Rosh goes through over there, that tshuva. Just want to mention also that a sefer called Seder L'Derech. Seder L'Derech is a very early sefer who is a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda ben Harosh. He's a Talmud of Yehuda ben Harosh, and he writes there in the Hakdom, in the introduction, in the sefer Seder L'Derech. Seder L'Derech interprets Rashi a lot. And the Seder L'Derech writes, in all of the land of Spain, he says, the Rosh saw that there is not enough people who learn Talmud Bavli. Not enough person to learn Talmud Bavli. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, put it into the mind of the Rosh that he should leave Germany, he should find a reason, good reason to leave Germany. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu ushers him, sends him to Spain in order to raise the level of learning to the degree where we find it today as it is now. Now, again, there were those basically who also studied many different disciplines, and when it came to really to Paskin and Shaila, they wanted to use foreign disciplines in order to decide halacha. And Rosh was very much against that. If you're learning science, then decide scientific situations with science. But if you're studying halacha, then don't bring in, he says, foreign pieces of information which is not directed, he says, from the Gemara and so on and so forth. So these others, right, who tried to pose as having knowledge in so many different areas and maybe give the impression as if they might be superior to the Rosh writes the following, and he says the following. The Rosh is a very, very interesting thing. I'll show you why specifically. The Rosh says, Til Elokeil. I thank the Rabbeinu Shloilam. Chanani Elokeim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted me. Yeshli Koil, I have all that it takes, Bisvara Mitis, in the proper logic of Teres Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me proper logic to understand and to come to conclusions in Teres Moshe. Hashem gave me the Svara, Hashem gave me the logic, the true logic, to be able to plumb it and try to really come to understand the difficulties and areas in Teres Moshe. He says, my logic, he says, amounts to all the Chachamim of Sfarad together. He's really tough over here, he says. Kechol Chachmi Sfarad HaNimtsoim B'yomim Ha'ele, he says. And Vafal Pishlo Yodati, even though I was not studying, he says, Chachmas Chitsoini Shalachem. I was not studying, he says, your foreign Chachmas. Berich Rachmon, I thank you, Kosh Baruch Hu, the Shays that he spared me that. Because he says it's very clearly all you need is you need your Shemaim and you need Torah. I mentioned that specifically with the Rosh is saying over here. He says that he basically his Sati Dishmaya, his inspiration in terms of being able to reach right, proper conclusions in Torah comes from your Shemaim. It comes from studying Torah. It doesn't come from any foreign influences. Specifically, this is interesting because some of you might remember a little bit a situation that happened many, many years ago where there was this big discussion where Rav Moshe Feinstein came out at a particular time with a very, very controversial heter. We're not going to go into the details, that's not the purpose of this year, regarding artificial insemination, if you might remember. And there was a lot of controversy regarding that issue. We're talking artificial insemination, of course, as I was talking about by a married woman, right, from somebody else, not the donor, not the husband. That was a very big, that was the main issue at the time. There was a lot of controversy, and Rav Moshe felt that Pialoch was mutter, even though later Rav Moshe is not recommending it all, it should be done, but he's speaking about strict halacha, as he's pointing about that it would be okay from strict standpoint of halacha. You can imagine he was bombarded with a lot of different opinions. He was very strongly bombarded. So here is some of the words, some of the lines of Rav Moshe. It is in the Shas Teshuvah Zikrus Moshe. It's in Eben Ezer Chelik Beis Em Yud Ches. First of all, he says, a person who is writing him and, so to speak, really degrading Rav Moshe, really degrading him, and he degrades Rav Moshe with an apology. Please be moichel me that I'm degrading you. Like that. Right? Please forgive me that I'm degrading you. And in other words, he's giving Rav Moshe mussar. So Moshe writes as follows. He says, I see, Nika Mimichtovoy, I see, Shohoyesovor, I see from your letter that you think that I'm going to feel upset that you're giving me mussar. Rav Moshe says, it appears that you're apologizing so strongly. So the impression is that you think I'm upset that you're trying to give me mussar. Sheyili kepede al divra hetechoche shaloi, v'ani adrabe. He says, adrabe, I'm very impressed that there are people out there who are willing to give mussar, he says. This is what Rav Moshe says. V'ani adrabe, ani nirgash mizeh. It makes me feel very, very, he says, I become emotional. Shani roya, I see, shenim tsoim, anoshim, balei ruach, I see people that are not afraid and not embarrassed. Meloim etechoche. However, here comes the however. He says, avol emes, whatever I paskind, whatever I said, whatever I wrote, aim bedvorim shekosavti, there's nothing in what I've written, v'shehirisi, and what I paskind, shum dover sheyigrech hazesholem eizechilul, it should cause any, he says, any desecration, he says, in the Kedusha of Yisrael, because the taina was, by allowing artificial insemination, that is destroying Kedusha of Yisrael, the sanctity of the Jewish family. So Moshe writes, basically says, there's nothing. Elo Teres Emes, I wrote based upon the Gemara, Teres Emes, Dira Rabbi Seinu Rishonim. He says, all those, he says, that are, right, all those that are opposing me are for making up their own decisions, what is called Kedusha Yisrael, not upon sources, he says. And all those, he says, that basically oppose me, these come, he says, from the outside opinions, he says, which has nothing to do with Torah. And he writes the following. He writes the following. I want you to know, I have no shaykhis with these people, no connection. My hashkof is only miyadiyas ha-Torah, belishum taruvas miyadiyas chisoynias. In other words, everything that I say does not come from any other outside influence. It all comes from the Torah. It's not by newspaper clippings or by reading this or by reading that. He says, everything, he says, comes strictly. He says, Kol ashkofosi, all my ashkof is rak mi yediyas ha-Torah. Lishim taruv is no mixture of any yediyas chesoinis, of any foreign, he says, pieces of information, he says. Because the truth is, I'm not interested, he says, if you bring in from the outside, whether it's to make a chumrah, you want to be more strict, or you want to be a lekula? He says, "Shkofes chitzonius." He says, "Svaris beduris malev." These are svaris. He says that was sucked out of just a figment of imagination. He says, "Klum." This means nothing. He says, "That's for starters. Now let's talk halacha, he says. And then he goes in. Then he goes into the whole tshuva to go through it. So in anything, just reminds me just what he mentioned here with the Rosh also, that there are those that thought that because they have maybe, they have studied other disciplines, that should have some better, right, some better way of coming to the conclusions of halacha. And the Rosh says, no, there's nothing to do with halacha. Is halacha comes from directly from Torah and from Yir Shamayim and from having logic to be able to study Torah properly, and that he says I have more than all of them. This is the Rosh said. Okay, everybody, so let's go to see here in the Yir Chaim. Back to the Rosh here. Let's take a look. Daf Chotei, page Chotei. It's Lamed Zayin. Sif Lamed Zayin. Let's see paragraph Lamed Zayin. Okay, page Chof Hei, Lama Zayin. That's at the bottom paragraph there. He says, L'moid parshiyesecho im hatzibur shnai mikro vechetargum uperish rashizal. In other words, it's common knowledge that Gemara says that a person should basically, right, go through the parsha, the portion of the week, right, two times, repeat the same pasuk twice, you say the targum. The Rosh says not simply go through it by reading the psukim, but one should study it. In other words, go through the portion of the week, go through the parashas HaShavua by studying it. Right? Say the posuk twice at least. Say each posuk twice, once the Targum, and then he says the perish Rashi's out. I learn it with Rashi. In other words, go through Chumash Rashi, the portion of the week. But the Rosh goes further and he says, "Usedag degboy kashetuchal." In other words, learn the Chumash with Rashi, right, with clarity as strongly as you can. Not just on the surface or superficially. Rosh, interestingly enough, he picks out from all the different, right, various commentaries, he picks out Rashi. You know, there's quite a different, lot of different perushim. But Rosh, very much as you see how he held Rashi in such high esteem. And Rosh says, therefore, to be studying the portion of the week, the parshas that you should be studied every week. Right? And he said to be medagdik, really to go through it very clearly. And then he says also, v'chein yir l'cho b'gemore. And the same thing also, Gemara. The Rosh also, Chumash, and study Gemara, says the Rosh. Because of all the things that one can learn, there's no question, any portion of Torah that a person learns, you have a mitzvah of learning Torah. It doesn't make a difference if it's Tehillim, if it's Chumash, certainly Chumash, any part of Tanakh, anything. You learn Torah, you have tremendous char for it. But if you were forced to pick and choose, you know, which portion, which section of Torah, right, is something which is more, if we can use that, he says, which is more beneficial to you. He says, Oisei b'gemara is the better level of study, and the more beneficial of all study is the study of gemara. Midah toivah, that is the midah toivah, that would be a very good habit. V'noistin alei socher, and you get extra schar for that. The Eloch Midah Toivah Hemeno. In other words, of all the things that you can learn, there's nothing higher, he says, above Gemara. And it's very interesting that we said when he came to Spain, he said people may have been learning other things, in Torah even, but it was not Talmud Bavli. You can see here the Rosh is a very strong proponent that main learning taki should be Gemara. With Snanan, we have learned, after all, we know the Mishnah and Peyah, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. In other words, of all the Tariq mitzvahs, all the 613 mitzvahs, which is the one that outweighs all of them, is Talmud Torah, learning Torah. So nothing matches, there's no mitzvah that matches Limud HaTorah. Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. So when the Rosh says, V'chein Yilcho, the same thing should be by Gemara, what does it mean, the same? So talk here in the bottom, look here in the beer, from Moshe Sternbuch, V'chein Yilcho b'Gemara, the same thing. What do you mean the same thing? Because before he said, not only learn the Chumash with Rashi, but Usadagdik boy, means learn it with Bedugdik. Go into it in depth. So the suggestion is v'chein l'cho b'gemar also. B'gemar should not be learned superficial. But v'chein meaning is usadagdik boy, which means chayoven lilmer agemar heitev. The Gemara should be learned, right? Should really be learned strongly. V'loy kriya b'alma, not simply reading it through, but rather studying the Gemara appropriately. Again, and the lashon of the Rosh is interesting. He doesn't say ki halimud b'gemara. He doesn't say that learning Gemara. Says oisik b'gemara. Oisik b'gemara means the involvement. Notice there's different ways of person learns. Person learns fine, he learns. Asik is called involvement. It's also a word as used for business, right? Asik is a business. That's the Hebrew word doing business, is asik. So Moshe Sternbuch suggests, and basically it's a really a taz, that this is the kavanah of the Rosh. When someone learns Torah, he should be so involved with it as if it is one's business. When somebody has a business to run, right, he really puts his mind into it. He thinks everything thorough. He wants to make sure that what anything can be done to betterment of his business. And therefore it occupies his mind. Torah should also be something as if this is your business. This is something that you have to treat it as if it is your business, which means that you give it your all. That's the idea of ha'oisek b'gemara. Oisek from Lashon Esek. That means that this is something that really, this is your vocation, this is your profession, to learn Torah. So this is the nekuda. These are the milers. These are tremendous milers. Now, among the other, of course, benefits we say with Talmud Torah keneged kulam, as brought down in the Mefarshim, it's not just that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah on its own. It's not just that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself, right, is greater, right, than any of the other mitzvahs. First of all, the Vilna Goyen writes in Shnois Elio, in Perek Aleph of Masechtas Peah, the Vilna Goyen says that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is such that every word that one's learned, for example, someone learns for 10 minutes. Right? It's not just one mitzvah learning 10 minutes. Every word of Torah that you said is a separate mitzvah, which means technically that if in 10 minutes, right, a person can say 1,000 words, right, or 500 words, you have 500 mitzvahs. There's no other mitzvah, right, that can meet that challenge. Any other mitzvah, right, is a mitzvah. It's one mitzvah. You do that mitzvah, it's one mitzvah. But however, Torah says every word is a separate mitzvah. So by that definition alone, it comes out that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Right? If it takes you 10 minutes to do any other mitzvah, right, and you have the opportunity, right, for 10 minutes to learn, so in those 10 minutes you just don't have just one mitzvah, but you have as many words that you have said, you have managed to say in those 10 minutes, you have all the many more mitzvahs. So that is one aspect alone why we can understand the greatness of Talmud Torah. Also, another thing of Talmud Torah is because any other mitzvah, of course, a person does a mitzvah, so you fulfill what is the Ratzon Hashem, you fulfill what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from you, and a tremendous reward for any mitzvah. Rabbeinu Yoina writes that we cannot even imagine what the schar, what the reward in Shemayim is for a mitzvah, because if you take all the pleasures of this world, cannot amount, he says, in any way, even to be able to pay, he says, what it means. It's only in the next world. That's why basically there's schar mitzvah, the Gemara says, b'hayal malekha, because Baruch Hu does not really repay the reward for mitzvahs on this world in a real sense, because it's not possible. You'd be cheated, right? If someone does a job, right? Someone works, does a job, he presents an architectural thing with someone which is papers, right, or a blueprint, right, to build a major skyscraper, right? And he's supposed to be paid $200,000, and you give him $10, it's a sham. Are you paying someone who deserves to pay for a mitzvah in any currency in this world? Was simply not far from doing you justice. What he once mentioned, Rabbi Victor Miller once pointed out, he said, just to give an example, he says, of paying what the schar of a mitzvah is, he says, take out your checkbook, he says. Take out your checkbook, he says, and start writing. I start with a one, then writing zeros and zeros and zeros, and then you get to the end of the check, there's no more room, so now on the desk you continue writing zeros and zeros, and then the desk isn't long enough, so then you take another desk, and you keep writing zeros and zeros, until he says you go to the end of the house, and then you go to the end of the block, you keep writing zeros, get to the next block, get to the next block, until you finish, go to the end of the city, and so you can keep writing zeros all around the world. It's something where it's a mind-boggling thing, but you were not able even to comprehend it, to understand that. So there's nothing in this world that is able to match into amount, but it means even the schar even for one mitzvah. So we can imagine even with Talmud Torah is, but Talmud Torah has the added benefit, and that is that a person who learns Torah becomes connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, the neshama of this person, and therefore he basks in the glory of Hashem, and that is something. Kibur Panecho, Nasatul Torah Semes, right? We say Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it. That's the Or Panecho. That is the glory and the light, the spiritual light that a person is able to bask in the glory, that shines to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu Mamish. That is something that is through Talmud Torah. So to give us a little bit of an idea, let's take a look at the sheet that we have. Right. So the first item we have on the sheet, of course, is we have here the Yerach Chaim that we just learned now, where the Rosh said Yerach Chaim again, Lamoid Pashi Yasecho Matzibur, right? Shnai Mikra, repeat each pasuk at least twice. Lecho Targum, then say also the Targum, Uperish Rashi, learn it with Rashi, Vista Dagdeg Boy, right? And go make sure that you delve into it, right? Go learn it with depth. So as we mentioned many times, you see over here now, this is the Tosfos Yom Tov who made a translation on the words of the Rosh. Right? He wrote in German, but his translation has been translated into Hebrew. Right? So we have here the Tosfos Yontif. He says as follows. Because the Rosh also said the same thing as when you learn Gemara. The same when you learn Gemara. So he says, "Kamoi kain, kshata loymid ha Gemara lomoid learned ba'oifim shtei betuach shohavam tanochay." Make sure that you understood it. Now the person should not fool himself that he really understands. Make sure that you learn it in a way that you are certain that you understood it. The tivda koisa ba'amkus ubedakus, and try to go as deep. Right? As deep, he says, "Kemosha efshelcha." Each person according to his intellectual ability. Kimi shaloimid Gemara, he says, because when a person truly learns Gemara, umoyser atzmei lasis kain, and he commits himself to do that, bizehirus ubizrizis, with proper commitment and with excitement, kadei sheyovin hakol anochin, in order to understand everything properly, he says, bazeh mechavav atzmei umekabel hamida yoyser shleim. This is the way. That is the highest level of connecting himself, he says, to learning yoyser melimut chelik achash b'teirut. No matter which chelik of teirut you might choose. If you have the ability to learn Gemara properly, says that is the highest level. And Hamishnah Imeres Shelimud HaTorah. The Mishnah tells us Limud HaTorah Shokul Eis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu equals it. Can I get any mitzvah?